May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our God, our strength, and our Redeemer.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Well, before I start the sermon, I have to admit, wow, the song was depressing. But the good news, if we look at verse 7, and you don't have to, but take it home and look at it later. But for the ransom of our life is so great. Well, we know the answer. We know the problem is all solved and saved because Jesus, our Lord and our Savior, our brother, our friend, our Creator, our Redeemer, Jesus ransomed our lives. So that we don't have to be concerned about because it's been given to us. Jesus is dependable. But as we go through the gospel today, we might want to ask ourselves and be honest about it, really honest about it. What are our motivations every single morning we wake up? What has true value to us? What is important? How do we live our lives? What do we think about? What we say? What do we do? What do we feel in our hearts? Do we glorify the Lord our God with every moment in our lives? Probably not, but I'm sure all of us are trying, and we need to do that. So I'll start with the gospel. I'm going to do the same thing as last week, so hopefully it won't be too long. But here we go again. Someone in the crowd, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." Well, that was a pretty normal thing because back then, rabbis were asked to arbitrate and to take care of problems or any type of issues with inheritance because it fell under the jurisdiction of the Torah. So that was okay then and there, but did we hear what the man said? "Teacher, tell my brother." What kind of attitude is that? He didn't say to Jesus, "Okay, Lord," or "Jesus," or "Rabbi," or "Teacher, can we sit down together with my brother and discuss this? Can we talk about it? Can we listen? Can we learn?" No. It was, "I want you to tell my brother what I want you to tell my brother." That was the problem with this man. So Jesus replies, because Jesus is not going to be fooled. Like God Almighty, we can't fool Jesus. We can't fool God. We can't fool the Holy Spirit. We can fool ourselves, but God cannot be mocked or fooled. And so Jesus, knowing where this man was going and what his interest was, because it was self-interest, he says, "Friend, who set me to be judge or arbitrator over you?" And then he goes into a parable, because stories, parables, are always kind of an indirect, very kind way of teaching someone where they're kind of going astray or how they could maybe look at a situation a little bit differently. And so he says to the crowd, he says, "Take care. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed." And then here was the warning and the learning. Because one's life does not consist on abundant possessions. Now, Jesus isn't saying it's not okay to be rich. Jesus isn't saying it's not okay to have possessions. But that's not what our lives are all about. What we do with our abundance, what we do for God Almighty, what we do for one another, that's what our lives consist of. That's what's important. So he tells them a story. He says, "The land of a rich man produced abundantly, so he was blessed. And he thought to himself," and here it comes, "well, what should I do? For I have no place to store my crops." So he says, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones. Well, right there, that tells you where the man is thinking, where he's going. First of all, he could have shared some of his crops and it wouldn't have been so crowded in his barns. Second, he could have built other barns and not torn down, not been destructive, not torn down the original ones, but shared them with the community for whatever need the community had. The man was thinking about himself and his own needs. That is it. And then, after he came to this wonderful decision in his own mind to build new and larger barns and store up his grain, he says, and then I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many, many years. So relax, eat, drink, and be merry. Well, this person is not aware of the needs around him. How can you relax and eat and drink and be merry if you're not trying to share or to give or to nurture or to take care of those around you in your family, your friends, your neighborhood, the community, and maybe even the world, depending on what the abilities of one's person, you know, has to do. And then here comes the kicker. But God says to him, you fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you. Well, that's a 2x4 from Jesus in this story. That's a 2x4 from God. That's also a wake-up call for not only this group, but all of us. Every single one of us, no matter how rich or how poor, that's a wake-up call for all of us, because we're to be aware of the needs of every single person around us. Sometimes poor people need help, sometimes the middle class needs help, sometimes the rich people need help. It's not a them or us, all of us together. For Jesus to glorify God by being empowered by the Holy Spirit. This morning, and I have to admit, it made me kind of laugh because it's not even here, Advent yet. And Advent's where we get kind of heavy duty on being aware of our being mortal and ending up dead. And what do we have to show for it? Do we have riches only stored up with things we do, things we possess? You know, are we greedy? We can only ask that in our own minds. And greed, like the gospel says, it's in a lot of different areas, not just money, not just possessions. It can be in relationships. It can be in how we really don't take care of the people we're with. Or have we asked ourselves the tough question, is God first and foremost in my life, in our life? Do we prepare every day for God or something else? Are we distracted by life's living, good or bad? Or are we prepared to praise God each and every day and glorify God by what we say, by what we do, how we think, and how we act? So Jesus' parable, if we take it to heart, can remind us to think about what has value to us, what has value to me personally, what really motivates me, what motivates us in our lives. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, we just ask that we can sit back, relax within your loving arms. and even want to relax within your loving arms. Relax enough so that we can feel the power of your Holy Spirit in us to enlighten us and guide us and guard us and protect us so that we really desire to glorify you, to know your will, to do your will, and to love you first and foremost, and then others, and then ourselves. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.